So reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1st, Chapter 9, Passing Away of Bhishmadev. So as previously we have explained and discussed how Bhishmadev was ready to leave his body and how all the great sages from all the planetary system, they came to witness that moment. Then Suta Goswami, he explains, it's not that just all these great sages, they assemble there to witness the passing of Bhishmadev, but to see the wonderful consciousness of a devotee at the time of death. As in our previous discussion, we have discussed that how his body was totally shattered. Each and every pore of his body was pierced with the arrow and it was bleeding. In that situation also, he never lost his consciousness. And what he spoke at that time, that is explained here by by Suta Goswami. He says, Yudhishthir Sadakaranyam Shayanam Sharapanjare Aprachad Vibhadan Dharman Nrishinam Chanu Shunvatam. Maharaj Yudhishthir, after hearing Bhishmadev speak in that appealing tone, asked him, in the presence of all great rishis, about the essential principles of various religious duties. See what he is speaking about. He is speaking about the essential principles of religious duties. At that situation, here he explains that Sharapanjare, when he was lying on the bed of arrows. Purushas Vabhava Vihitan Yathavaranam Yathashramam Vairagyam Raga Upadhiyabhyam Amanat Ubhaya Lakshanam. At Maharaj Yudhishthir's inquiry, Bhishmadev first defined all the classifications of castes and orders of a life in terms of individual's qualification. Then he systematically, in twofold divisions, described the counteraction by detachment and interaction by attachment. So he spoke about the whole Varnashram based on the qualities, how each and every individual of this Varnashrama has his qualities and perform his duties. That he has wonderfully explained that. If you read the Shanti Parva part of Sri Mahabharata, then you will understand that what deep insight that Bhishmadev has given at that moment. Almost like more than 500 verses are there, which explains about the all regulative principle that need to be followed by all the ashramas. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur especially says, for the age of a Kali, Mahabharata is essential to be discussed and read by the general mass of people. At least they should know what is meant by human being and what are the rules and regulations that need to be followed by a civilized human being. And what are the other things that he has discussed? Then he says, he discussed about Dana Dharmana, Raja Dharmana, Moksha Dharmana, Vibhaga Shaha, Stri Dharman, Bhagavad Dharman, Samasa Vyasa Yogataha. He then explained by the divisions, acts of charity, the pragmatic activities of a king and activities of a salvation. Then he described the duties of women and devotees, both briefly and extensively. Dana Dharma. See, people, they do charity. But when it becomes as a dharma, when it is done with the detachment. Sometimes people, they do charity, but they are attached for their fame, for their name. So that never becomes a dharma. That only becomes a charity, which may cause a bondage for that person. And we have example of Maharaj Nirga, who gave millions and billions of cows in donation whenever he performed yajnas. But because one brahmana got offended in that endeavor, so he has to become a, what they called? Chipkali? Lizard. And he has to remain in that body for thousands of years. It becomes dharma when it is dedicated totally for the cause of the Lord. To propagate the mission of their Lordship. Then it becomes a dharma. If you read the way Bhishma Dev has explained that, it's amazing. Dana dharma, Raja dharma, Moksha dharma, even for liberation also. See, that's why he is known as one of the Mahajanas. Even though he was one of the politicians, he was the great warrior, but still he had the knowledge about Moksha Dharma also. And so that he can speak about that. And who is his audience? All the great sages from whole planetary systems. There were sages from Brahmaloka, Satyaloka, Maharloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka. All they came there. So we can understand, as explained in Srimad Bhagavatam, that if someone is a devotee, then definitely he possesses all the qualities of demigods. And then he spoke about the activities and the duties of women and devotees. He says that he spoke briefly also and he spoke extensively also. Actually, in Mahabharata, when he was speaking about all these things, Draupadi was there. And she started smiling. Then Bhishma Dev looked at her and he said, "It's a sarcasm or what? Why you are smiling? I'm speaking about such a deep and very important subject matter." She is saying, "If you know all these things, then why you have not protected me when they tried to disrobe me? You had all this knowledge, but why you have not applied it?" Then Bhishma Dev, there he clarifies about panchakoshas. There are five koshas within our body. Annamaya, Pranamaya, Manomaya, Vijnanamaya, and Anandamaya. So he says, Annamaya kosha, that was not purified. Even though he reached up to the Brahmamaya or Anandamaya kosha, where he can relish the presence of their Lordship. He can remember their Lordship constantly. But because Annamaya kosha was not clear. Why? Because he was eating the food that was offered by Duryodhana and company. That's why in Taittiriya Upanishad it is said that if someone may have attended the Anandamaya kosha also, but if he not eats a purified food, he can't progress. Because Annamaya kosha is so big. To pass through that and then enter next the Pranamaya kosha, it takes a long journey. It may take several lifetime also. And that's why even Srimad In the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 3, Annad Bhavati Bhutani, in that particular shloka's purport, Prabhupada writes down that one has to purify his sattva, his existence. How? By ahara shuddhi. Ahara shuddhi means purifying his food. And how one can purify his food? By offering it to the Lord. That means if you want to purify your existence, you have to have Krishna Prasad. It's very important, because whatever you eat, that sort of a consciousness or mindset you develop. So one has to be very careful what you eat about. Then further he explains about dharma artha kama mokshansha sayoshashayanaha yatha mune nanakhyana ithyaseshu varnamaya masa tattvavit. Then he described the occupational duties of a different orders and statuses of life, citing instances from history, for he was himself well acquainted with the truth. So Ramayana and Mahabharata, you will find varieties of stories. Why is it so? All the Puranas also, they are consist of different stories. Because whatever there in the Vedas, which has given in the form of a formulas, sutras, to understand them, as Veda said that satyam bruyat, that one has to speak a truth. But how one should speak that truth, that has explained in Puranas and Ithyasas. Ithyasas means Ramayana and Mahabharata. Because if you speak truth, that truth should be palatable. It should not that if someone does not have a nose, or if someone has a flat nose, you should go and tell him that you are having a flat nose. Why? I have to speak truth. But that's not the way that you should speak a truth. You should not offend anyone when you speak a truth. Then how that should be done? So you, when you read the whole story of Maharaj Harishchandra, then you will come to know what is mean by speaking truth. And if you speak a truth, then how you have to be responsible for the reactions that you get it for. So to understand this Vedic injunction, we need to understand through the wonderful stories that have explained in Ramayana and Mahabharata. And that's why even while explaining these principles, even Bhishma Dev has cited some history, some incidents from past, so that we can understand them better. Dharma prabadastasya kalaha pratyup upasthitaha yo yo yoginam chandas mrityor vanchitam uttarayanaha. While Bhishma Dev was describing occupational duties, the sun's course ran into the northern hemisphere. This period is desired by mystics who die at their own will. So Suta Goswami indirectly has indicated us that Bhishma Dev not only was a great warrior or great philosopher, but he was a yogi who was waiting to leave his body at particular moment, and that was the Uttarayana. Tadopashandritya giraha sahastrin vimukta sangam mana adi purushe krishne lasati pita pate chaturbhuje purasthite milita adrugga vyadharayat. Thereupon, that man who spoke on different subjects with thousands of meanings and who fought on thousands of battlefields and protected thousands of men stopped speaking, and being completely freed from all bondage, withdrew his mind from everything else and fixed his wide open eyes upon the original personality of a Godhead, Sri Krishna, who stood before him four-handed, dressed in yellow garments and glittered and shined. And then further he says, Vishuddhaya dharanaya hata shubhasta tadikshayavashu gatayudhashramaha nirvritta sarvendriyavritti vibhramam tushtavajanyam visruja janardhanam. By pure meditation, looking at Lord Sri Krishna, he at once was freed from all material inauspiciousness and was relieved of all bodily pains caused by the arrow wounds. Thus, all the external activities of his senses at once stopped, and he prayed transcendentally to the controller of all living beings while quitting his material body. And then starts the prayers offered by Bhishma Dev. Sri Bhishma Vaja. Itir matir urukalpita vitrushna bhagavati sattvata pungave vibhrumni swasukham apavagate kvarichit haratum prakritim apeyushyat prabhaha. Bhishma Dev said, let me now invest my thinking, feeling and willing, which were so long engaged in different subjects and occupational duties, in the all-powerful Lord Sri Krishna. He is always self-satisfied, but sometimes, being the leader of the devotees, he enjoys transcendental pleasure by descending on the material world, although from him only the material world is created. See, here he has explained that what he has engaged, matir rupakalpita vitrushna, that he has invested the thinking, feeling and willing, means what? Exactly. Because these are the functions of mind. And as Lord says that manmana bhava madbhakto madhyajimam namaskuru manmanaha, engage your mind unto me. Mayyeva mana adhatsva, again, engage your mind unto me. And this is what Bhishma Dev has done at the last moment of his life, that he has engaged his mind at the lotus feet of the Lord. And who is that Lord? Who is self-satisfied. He doesn't need anything externally which satisfies him, but he is self-satisfied. In that Lordship he has engaged his mind. Then further it says, Tribhuvana kamanam tamalavaranam raviko ravarambaram dadhane vapurakalakulavritannambajam vijayasakhe ratirastumane me anavadya. Now he is glorifying their lordship for his different characteristics. He says that Sri Krishna is the intimate friend of a Krishna, Vijaya Sakhe. Here Vijaya means Arjuna. So Krishna is an intimate friend of Arjuna. He has appeared on the earth in his transcendental body, Tribhuvana Kamanam, which resembles the bluish color of the Tamala tree, Tamala Varanam. His body attracts everyone in the three planetary systems, upper, middle and lower. May his glittering yellow dress and his lotus face, covered with the paintings of sandalwood pulp, be the object of my attraction, and may I not desire fruitive results. See, these are the same prayers are offered by all the great devotees. What they want ultimately, they want their mind should be always fixed at the lotus feet of their Lordship, thinking about his beauty, thinking about his wonderful pastimes. Even Maharaj Kulashekar, in his prayers in Mukunda Mala Stotra, he says that, my Lord, majjanmali fadamidam, if you want to perfect my life and you want to award me or grant me some benediction, then what should be the benediction? That I should be considered as the servant of servant of servant of servant of your servants. That will be the perfection of my life. But when that will happen? When my mind will get attached to your lotus feet. And he says that divya bhuva mama pibaso swargesho va narakanta prakama yadavadhi mama chetah krishna padarvi. My Lord, I may stay in this world, maybe in the hellish planet or maybe in the heaven planet, wherever it may be, but promise me one thing, that my mind should always remain at your lotus feet. And that's what Bhishma Dev is asking here. And then he's explaining that particular form and the feature that he has seen of their Lordship on the battlefield. It's not that just Bhishma Dev was fighting vigorously, but while fighting, the whole body was engaged in that, but his mind was fixed on the beautiful form of the Lord. And each and every time whenever he has seen that particular form, that has printed on his mind. And at the time of death, he is remembering that. So he always had the darshan of their Lordship. He was not just seeing him, but he was taking darshan. And that is explained in the next verse. He says, yudhi turaga rajo vithuta prashvikam kachalulita shramavagyalya alankritasya mama nishiter sharer vidya vidyamanaha tvachi vilasat kavache astu krishna atma. On the battlefield where Sri Krishna attained Arjuna out of a friendship, the flowing hair of the Lord Krishna turned ash due to the dust raised by the hoofs of the horses. And because of his labor, beads of sweat wetted his face. All these directions, intensified by the wounds dealt by my sharp arrows, were enjoyed by him. Let my mind thus go unto Sri Krishna. So here again we can see, it's not that he was just shooting his arrow, but his mind was taking that snaps of particular, that incident and the features, the most beautiful form of a Lord, how it got covered with the dust by the hoofs of horses. And that his face was wetted with the, he says that, a nice word he has used, he says that, beads of sweat. And not only that, even he was struck by the arrows of Bhishma Dev. And Bhishma Dev is meditating on that form. So Krishna, whenever and wherever he is there, he is all attractive. Even when Uddhavji, he meets, Vidurji meets Uddhava in Prabhas Kshetra. That time Vidurji asked, how is Krishna? That time Vidurji explains that ತಥೈವ ಚಾನ್ನೇ ನರರೋ ಕವೀರಾಯ ಆಹವೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಮುಖಾರವಿಂದಂ ಪಾರ್ಥಾಸ್ತಕೂತ ಪದಮಾಪುರಸ್ಯ ನಯನಾಭಿ ಬಿಬಂತೋ ನಯನಾಭಿರಾಮ. ಇಸ್ ಇಸ್ ಆನ್ ದಿ ಬ್ಯಾಟಲ್ ಫೀಲ್ಡ್ ಆಫ್ ಕುರುಕ್ಷೇತ್ರ. ತಥೈವ ಚಾನ್ನೇ ಭವನ್ ಲೋಕವೀರ. ದೇರ್ ಆರ್ ಸೋ ಮೆನಿ ಚಿವಲ್ರಸ್ ಫೈಟರ್ಸ್ ಆನ್ ದಟ್ ಬ್ಯಾಟಲ್ ಫೀಲ್ಡ್. ಯಹ ಆಹವೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಮುಖಾರವಿಂದಂ. ಇಟ್ಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ದಟ್ ದೇ ವರ್ ಓನ್ಲಿ ಫೈಟಿಂಗ್, ಬಟ್ ಆಹವೇ ದೇ ವರ್ ಎಂಜಾಯಿಂಗ್. ವೆನ್ ಯು ಈಟ್ ಸಮಥಿಂಗ್, ಆಹ್, ವೆನ್ ಯು ಫೀಲ್ ಸ್ಯಾಟಿಸ್ಫೈಡ್ ಆರ್ ರಿಯಲಿ ಹ್ಯಾಪಿ, ದೆನ್ ಯು ಸೇ ವಾಹ್. ಸೊ ಲೈಕ್ ದಟ್ ದೇ ವೆರ್ ಫೈಟಿಂಗ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಸ್ಟಿಲ್ ದೇ ವೆರ್ ನಯನಾಭಿ ಪೀಬಂತೋ ನಯನಾಭಿರಾಮಂ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ದೇ ವೆರ್ ಡ್ರಿಂಕಿಂಗ್ ದಿ ನೆಕ್ಟರ್ ಆಫ್ ವಾಟ್ ನಯನಾಭಿರಾಮಂ, ವಿಚ್ ಗಿವ್ಸ್ ರಿಯಲಿ ಸ್ಯಾಟಿಸ್ಫ್ಯಾಕ್ಷನ್ ಟು ದೇರ್ ಐಸ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ದ್ಯಾಟ್ಸ್ ದಿ ಬ್ಯೂಟಿ ಆಫ್ ದರ್ ಸುಪ್ರೀಮ್ ಪರ್ಸನಾಲಿಟಿ ಆಫ್ ದ ಗಾಡ್. ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ವಾಟ್ ದೇ ವಾಟ್ಸ್ ಹ್ಯಾಪ್ನಿಂಗ್ ವಿತ್ ದೆಮ್? ಪಾರ್ಥಾಸ್ತ ಪೂತ ಪದಮಾಗತಸ್ಯ. And whoever got killed by the weapons of Partha, he said, Putaha, they get purified. And where they got? Padamagatasya. Why? Because while dying, they were enjoying the beauty of their lordship. So that's the Supreme Personality of a God. So we'll stop here and we'll continue next Saturday. Hare Krishna. Shri Bhishma Deva Ki.